is KAYT-FM.
88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. 100.1 Lake Charles.
And KQJO-FM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Ready to have a little church.
I'm Reverend Stanley Mathis, Senior Pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is now brought to you by Robinson Mortuary. Robinson Mortuary is a family-serving family. They are located at 1850 Military Highway, Pineville, Louisiana, and their phone number is area code 318-442-7300. Join us now as we enter into a service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God. The Lord has already calculated in a portion of grace and mercy. What kind of God is it, Brother Gaines, that can calculate in my faults and my frailties? I know it now because Romans 3:23 said all of us have sinned and messed up and come short. So the Lord calculated in his powerful thinking. He said, I'm going to make man in my image. But I know man will mess up. And if man mess up, I will calculate it in grace and mercy.
Yes,
and thank the Lord for his grace and his mercy.
Yes,
for his grace and his mercy endures forever. And because the Lord calculated in grace and mercy, he had you in mind.
Yes,
he had me in mind. The enemy thought he had the victory, but the Lord said, I've got a mystery plan that you don't even know about. And because you don't know about the mystery plan that I have, even though you can make man stumble and cause them to fall with your trial and your temptations in life and all of the things that you can put on man, I can turn them around and make it and use it for my good. The Lord is moving us in a unique position with him. And so we see how this prophetic clock is ticking. So let's examine what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and 16. For it says, for this we say to you, by the words of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Many think this is a sermon regarding funeral, but this is a sermon regarding life. This is a sermon that gives us hope. This is a sermon that keeps us going. This is a sermon that tells us that there is more after this world. This is a sermon that gives us joy even in the midst of all of the things that are transpiring. This is a message of hope that the Lord will return and receive us unto himself. Why? Let's see. The Lord, the return of the Lord will impact those who are alive and those who are dead. And what that means is that because it will impact those that are alive and those that are dead, it will be sudden. The Lord says, I can change things in a twinkling of an eye. We talked about it this morning, Sister Mathis and I, and we talked about the hypocrisy that the world is enduring today because so many of us say that we are baptized, born again Christians. That may be true in one sense, but Romans 3:23 says all of us have something that we are done. And all of us are still doing something. So there's some hypocrisy in our life. And so here's what the Lord is telling us, that when I return, it will be sudden. And we will be changed in a moment. And oh, that just baffled me. How can I be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye? You and I will be changed because we cannot even get to where the Lord is without a change taking place. You do know he did tell Nicodemus that you must be born again. But every day I breathe, every time I think, I'm thinking something that is not pleasing to the Lord. So the Lord says, when I return, there will be be a perfect change in you in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The hypocrisy that is within you will be changed, and you will look just like me. I did share that we are all predestined to look just like Christ. Pastor, how can that be? Because the Lord can do what he do, and when he do it, he does it well. The entire world will know him for who he is, for there will be no mistake this time who the Lord is. We are told on this sudden event, the Lord will set the priorities for those who are asleep and those who are awake. For we see that those who are asleep will be the first awakened. Anybody sleeping on me? Brother Gaines? They will be the first awakened. Death will have no power over the Lord. For Jesus is the first fruit of them who sleep.
Yes,
for all power of heaven and earth is in his hand. God the Father has delegated all power, all authority to do all things, to judge. Let's see what it means. It means the first fruit of a tree is the originator. The sign or the foundation that more fruit will follow. And Christ is the first fruit, Brother Shepherd, to have risen from the dead. He is the first fruit from the grave, and his resurrection is the pledge. It is the guarantee that the rest of the harvest will certainly follow. Remember, Jesus said that the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. And the Lord is simply saying, I'm waiting for the harvest, but I got you to do some preaching, some teaching. I got you to do some baptizing and some witnessing. I need you to go and do some missionary work, because the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few, because I've got to bring in my harvest. The Lord is saying, I've got an abundance harvest, and I need to be able to bring my harvest in. But I need some workers. Don't sleep on me. Don't fall short on me. I know it's difficult. Can you imagine what Jesus went through for the time that he spent here in this world? All of the trials and the tribulation, all of the things that came against him, and he knew everything that would happen, but he knew that there would be a harvest. He knew how many would accept him and how many would reject him. He knew how many would come later. You do know the very reason why we are Christian is because we are following the examples of Christ. And if we are following the examples of Christ, we need to look like him. We need to walk like him. We need to talk like him. We need to have a body of believers to be able to embrace what the Lord is doing in our life. And when we are doing that, we are following the examples and the teaching that he has given each and every one. It is not relegated to the pastors and the preachers. Jesus commanded and gave a commission to the world, the great commission, that each and every one of us have a responsibility to go out and make new disciples, to go out and share and talk about the Lord. You know, and I do have a problem with some denomination, but one thing I can say about that denomination is that they are out there witnessing. They may not have their doctrinal stuff right, but they look at us and say, you have your stuff wrong. But here's my point. I can't complain about nobody, because I can't judge nobody. See, that makes me a hypocrite too. I can only preach what God's word tells me to preach, say what God tells me to say, live the way God wants me to live. And when I do that, he is the one that will judge. We all messed up today in a world that God created.
Yes.
In a world that he told Adam what to do and how to obey him. To abide by his moral laws. And here's what I understand. The problem we have today is that we can't abide by his laws because we want him to be more like us than us like him. Can we get deep in this? We want the Lord to look just like us, to understand how we feel, how we want to react to things, how we want to live. But when God said, I've set my law and my moral standards for your living, you don't want to live like that. You want to set the laws and tell me to abide by the way you want to live. But I've already given you my laws of how you want to live. I've already given you how you ought to treat your neighbor. I've already given you the way you should live and relate to one another. And if you can't abide by my law, I will have to deal with you. But thank God for his grace and his mercy. That thief on the cross will not obey his law, but the Lord said, I've got grace and mercy extended for you, because he did one great thing. He said, Father, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, remember me. That's repentance. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that the thing that he was doing wasn't right. And the Lord says, but I got you covered. Because I'm about to pay a price that you cannot pay. I'm about to do something that you cannot do. Because I've lived the way that you cannot live. I've talked the way that you can't talk. But I'm doing it all for you, because for God so loved the world that he gave me to die for you. Amen. And because I'm dying for you, if you can just confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whatever you are caught up in and caught up on, whatever you're trying to get the Lord to comply with your way of lifestyle instead of his moral law, the Lord said, my law are my law, and I will not change them. But I can look at you one way, or I can look at you another. I can look at you under the law, or I can look at you under grace. What do you want? The Lord is speaking to the hearts and the conscience of a nation, and the hearts and the conscience of a people. Death has no power. Christ is the first fruit of them that slept. Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruit of all who sleep. And because he lives, all those who are positioned in Christ, let me say it again, all those who are positioned in Christ, help me say that again, all those